Good morning. Shall we turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? And we're just reading one verse, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, New King James Version. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity that your word, the word of power, your word of truth can go forth. Grant, O God, that as we hear from you, including myself, that indeed we would be illuminated in our minds, that we would have understanding, and Lord God, that we would desire to have this mind of Christ, so that in the end result, you'll get the honor and the glory. And if there be someone who does not know the Lord Jesus, that they would be even now convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, and not harden their hearts, but receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank the leadership for the opportunity to minister God's word. Thank the saints for your prayers. You know, I can tell when the saints are praying for me. You know, like I woke up this morning and couldn't get my focus. And I said, man, what's happening here? By the way, the night before this, by the way, there was a whole police incident on my block. I mean, there were cops, helicopters, all sorts of stuff in the area. And I'm saying, man, I got to get ready to speak, and this is happening now. So my focus was not as there. But then as I woke up, the Spirit of God started to show me things that I needed to focus on, and it started coming back clear. And I thank the Lord for the prayers of the saints. Continue to pray for those who come up here to minister and those who come up here just to play music. It is not easy. So continue to keep us in prayer. We want to examine the mind of Christ and how applying it gave Paul the courage and fortitude to carry out God's mission in the face of challenges. Thank you, sister, for that song. It is important to point out that God is working from the moment of our conversion. He is working on us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the believer has a responsibility to submit to the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and walk in the Spirit. Paul talks about all of these. And he may not mention much here in the book of Philippians about the Holy Spirit, but we know where he gets his power. So God's working in us. Paul's mentioned this in Ephesians 2 and 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God had prepared beforehand. So God is working, we are his workmanship, and he's got works prepared. He doesn't last minute, as soon as this brother or sister gets saved, say to the angels, what should we do? What plans do we have for them? No, before the foundation of the world, God had us in thought. For it is God who works in you both to to will and to do his good pleasure. And that is in chapter 2 and 13 of Philippians. He's working in us for his good pleasure and ultimately for his glory. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter from prison. So we got to keep that in mind. To these saints, and it was a thank you letter for their love gift. And in it, he elaborates on the importance of the mind of Christ. And he spoke there of them having a oneness of mind. And this was significant because Paul's attitude towards his imprisonment had a direct bearing on the preaching of the gospel by these saints. They depended on his teaching, and they looked to him as an example, a godly example. Can you imagine Paul says, you know, I can't stand this anymore, and just give up while he was in prison? What an impact that would have had. How God was using him to these saints. But as we read, and we have the whole scripture now, we see Paul share the gospel with every prisoner. the prison guards who was immediately with him, those of the palace guards. And then the Bible tells us in chapter 4 and 21 of same Philippians, it went all the way to Caesar's household. That's like someone preaching the gospel in prison, and the message goes all the way to the president's office. Kind of like what Chuck Colson did, who's gone home to be with the Lord. Had a powerful impact, even from prison. This in turn emboldened those saints, and they were now able to speak the gospel, the word of God, without fear. They were emboldened. So for us to understand Paul's mindset, which is rooted in faith, we and knowing how to apply this to our lives, we must first go to the source. And so we find this in chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. And Paul lays a case here as he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, from verse 6, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. This is speaking of Jesus. Here we see Jesus laid aside his right to unveil his deity. Thinking of the mind of Christ now while he was here on earth. We often use the term he cloaked his deity while maintaining the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was still creator in that position, second person of the Trinity, the image of God, the brightness of his glory, upholding all things by the word of his power. Alpha Omega, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is what Jesus is while he was walking in earth, and he chose to lay that aside. Not lay aside his deity, he's still God, but lay aside the right to unveil that. He didn't walk around on earth strutting and puffing up his shoulder, I'm God, look at me. Jesus didn't do that. For even Christ did not please himself, Paul says in Romans 15. He didn't come to please himself or any man, but to please God. And then he continues and he says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Chapter 2 and 7. Here we see Jesus look like an ordinary man, though he was God in the flesh. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, he emptied himself. We heard about that this morning in the worship service. All the things of the Son, the precious things of God, Jesus emptied himself of all of that, taking on the form of a bondservant. And that bondservant speaks of a servant or a slave. Jesus took the low position. The psalmist in Psalms 22, the messianic psalm, says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a worm and no man. The lowest position Jesus took when he was on earth. I remember recently looking at a movie, and there was this guy, he was a spy. And he had the authority of the agency that hired him. He was trained well. And he had to go on a mission. And this is a big guy, you know, well built, and he had to play the role of an architect. And he had a wife, not his real wife, but it's all part of the cover as an agent. You're a spy. And he's in this nation, and they have their agents, and they're coming, they're testing him now to see whether or not he is genuine, if he's genuinely an architect. And normally architects are slim, skinny, they're not that built. And they tested him by setting up a robbery. And so they took his watch, they took his money, and then they slapped him in the face. And you could tell as you're looking at the guys, the camera zoomed in on his hand, and he's ready to throw down. He's ready to hurt them. His ears is getting red, and his fake wife is saying, calm down, honey, calm down. Remember the mission. And he is trying so hard. And then one of them spat on him, and that was the last straw. He knocked the guy out with one punch. I say that to say this. Jesus, while he was here on earth, he had at his disposal 70 legions of angels to call. And he refused to. He chose not to. He was spat upon. He was whipped. Thorn of crowns put in his head. He was jeered. He was mocked. Early in his life, he was called a bastard child. You got your authority from Beelzebub. And all of this, Jesus cloaked. He refused to unveil his deity and unleash terror, which they probably rightly deserve, but he had a purpose while he was here. I'm a man, I'm a worm, and no man. He humbled himself. The hymn writer reminds us, he left his father's throne above and emptied himself of all but love. We sang a lot about that this morning. The love of God. And then Paul goes on and he says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Here we see Jesus subjected himself to the limitations of fallen man. He had a body like us. He was hungry. He got tired. Galatians, Paul tells us he was born of a woman and born under the law. Being born under the law is being born under the curse. Jesus was subject to that limitation. He says, you have made him a little lower than the angels in Hebrews 2 and 7. The angels that he created, He made them lower. He became lower than them. So we see the mind of Christ setting aside all this glory and honor and power that he had, and all that the Father has ascribed to him, being equal with God, he humbled himself. Paul says he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was obedient. And he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Consider that for a second. Jesus suffered the full wrath of God. He suffered the temptation to retaliate. He suffered by man's hatred for him, betrayed, denied, forsaken. And all of this, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. The hymn writer reminds us that died he for me who caused this pain, for me who him to death pursue. God in Jesus Christ was pursuing us, and the Lord Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then Paul goes on to say, God now has highly exalted him, praise God, and given him a name that is above every name. That's in verse 9. Jesus is exalted. The Lord Jesus' mindset was to do his Father's will, to please God, with the goal in mind to be seated at the right hand of God. For Hebrews 12 and 2 reminds us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, suffered that shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God. God exalted him. So Paul lays this case of the mindset of Christ while he was here on earth. And now he goes in chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, and he sets the case now of how did the mindset of Christ impact him? Christ didn't just walk earth just for himself. He did it to please God and set an example for us. Paul says there in verse 7, what things were gained to me, I count them for loss for Christ. In this, we see salvation. You see, everything that Paul had gained a lot. We can read that there in chapter 3. Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the chief among the Sanhedrin. He had all these accolades. He says, I count them as loss for Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God for you is clear that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's forever too late. And upon believing in him, the Bible says, all things will pass away, and all things will become new. The things Paul forgot, those were all things. He said, I count those loss, that all things may become new, and you would have newness of life. Paul goes on to say, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul was not satisfied with just being saved. That was not enough. And he was trying to impart this to these saints. There is more to be done. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, this we see illumination. God's word revealed to the darkness of our hearts, and brings us understanding Jeremiah 9 tells us something interesting there. He says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me. The Apostle Paul wants to know God, wants to know the Lord Jesus, just as he is known. And he's saying to these Philippian saints, and he's saying to us today, it is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing God, just as I'm known. He says, I suffer the loss of all things and count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Notice, everything for Christ. For Christ my Lord. Now he says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. In this we see sanctification. God's work in us, conforming us to that image of Christ. For we are, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined that we be conformed to the image of his Son. God's sanctification work, as we go through our Christian life, he is conforming us to the image of his Son. Paul says, I want to be found there in him, that I may gain him. It is all about Christ. And then Paul concludes there and he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And here we see glorification. And this is the ultimate goal for the believer, that we would be with the Lord. Jesus comforting his disciples, he says, for I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Paul's mindset toward the Lord Jesus Christ can be summed up in that statement that he made to them, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul wanted to bring to their attention that eternal life, eternity, doesn't begin at the rapture. We don't wait for eternity when we get to the rapture. It is the moment of conversion. Paul wanted to convey to them that in this life, now, I want to experience Jesus. That's his mindset. In such an intense way, I'm counting everything loss so that my experience on earth below, attaining to the resurrection of the dead, is just as equal as when I'm with Christ in heaven. Can you imagine that? It is almost an impossibility. And Paul knows that because he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He knows the body will limit us from actually fully experiencing that. But Paul's goal is to go there, that I may experience Christ in such a way that is no different from when I get to heaven, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's why Paul was torn between those two decisions. Either if I go, I'm going to gain. If I stay, I'm still going to gain for your benefit and for the glory of God. So now that we've looked at the mind of Christ, and we see how the two parallel, Christ put aside what was all important in order to please the Father. The Apostle Paul laid aside everything he had gained in order to gain Christ. His life mimicked that of the Lord Jesus. And he desires these saints to have the same mindset. What should be on our minds? How do we apply this personally? And how do we stimulate each other Because Paul always speaks of the oneness of mind they should have amongst each other. He says, personally, we should obey. How do we do that? Work out our salvation in fear and in tremble. Because we know that this work that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, we know that we must give an account at the Bema seat. And he said, don't do this just privately. He said, you did it when I was there with you, and you did it when I was not there. And we should do it not just privately, but openly, working out our salvation, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and obeying God's word. He said, obey. He said, do. What do? Do all things without complaining. This is chapter 2 and 4. And disputing. So we look different from the world. A world that is a crooked and perverse generation. That we shine as lights. And then he says, hold fast. This is our personal responsibility now. He says, hold fast. Fix your mind on the word of life. Fix your mind on the word of life. That is the mindset of Christ. That the word of God will dwell in us richly. And he tells them in chapter 4 and 1, stand fast. You're fixed, you're focused, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, laying aside every weight of sin. He says, stand fast in the Lord. And then collectively now to the body, he says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, stand together as one unit in defense, in the fight of the gospel, in the presentation of the gospel. Stand as one unit. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let nothing be done with selfish conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Chapter 2 and 3. We should always be looking for what is better in each other. You know, this morning as I was meditating, I got a text from a brother just as a word of encouragement. And I said, look at the timing of this as I'm trying to grab my thoughts. Those type of simple things we do as we would esteem each other, pray one for the other. He goes on to say, chapter 4 and 5, let your gentleness be known to all men, because the Lord is at hand. Not just the saints, but to all men, because the Lord is at hand. Who knows if your gentleness, if your faithfulness may have an impact on that person, and they would come to know the Lord. Let your gentleness be known. The Lord is at hand. At any moment, he can come. And then he says, when the storm clouds, as we heard our sister saying, when those troubles come, when the distractions come, and it happens to me, I get caught up into sports, I get caught up sometimes into the politics that's going on, and you get a little distracted. It gets a little fuzzy, and you're worried about life and concern. He says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer. And this is how you maintain that mindset. By prayer, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and your minds. He's calling them to have the mind of Christ. And he says, the peace of God will guard your heart and your minds. So we have this confident assurance. What should be in our minds today? As citizens of heaven, as we eagerly await our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul gives us a blueprint
He says, whatever things, this is what your mind should be on now, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue and any praiseworthy, meditate, fix your thoughts on these things. In order to have that mindset of Christ, the mind of Christ. And he repeats this not just to the Philippian saints. He says this to the Colossians too. He says, set your minds on things above. Sometimes we get so focused on the earthly that we miss not on the things of the earth. For the things of the earth, James reminds us, is demonic, and it leads to confusion. Set yourself, your mind on things above. And then in 2 Corinthians to the church of Corinth, he told them, become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And finally, the Spirit of God says to us individually and collectively now, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. May God bless you for his name's sake.